living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org, and you can find archives of this program, and you can find the text copy of today's message, and hear audio, leave comments at the daily blog, and find our sermons, and find out about Riverside Christian, and a search engine there, and our statement of faith, and donation information, anything that you might be interested in, articles, there's books, and things like that, but it's all right there at voiceofvision.org. You can email me there as well, Pastor JD, at voiceofvision.org. If there's a question that you have, we do a live radio show as well as the station you're hearing us on now and over the internet and archives and all that. You can email me again, Pastor JD at voiceofvision.org, and ask any question or a topic you might want to have covered on the radio or in a sermon or something like that. Who knows? Or email correspondence, whatever it is, right there again, voiceofvision.org. Now, yesterday we talked about avoiding the ultimate issue, and today we're going to talk about addressing the ultimate issue. And Paul was talking about all of humanity in Romans 1, and specifically the Jews who thought they were exempt from this downward slide that Paul was discussing in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. He talked about the gospel, then he talked about the fact that people had God in their knowledge, and yet they didn't treat Him as God, and they started worshiping rocks and trees and snakes and all of these sorts of things, and He gave them up to diverse passions and lusts, and we see all this terrible things happening, and it's just a sad picture. And then the Jews and moralists were saying, yeah, that's right, but that's not us. And he's turning it around on them and saying, yes, yes, it is them. And this applies to us today as well. We must all address the ultimate issue. Let me read some verses here from the second chapter of Romans. I'll just skip around a little bit in verses 6, 9, and 10 just to give us some flavor about this. Paul says, He will render to each as God, each one according to his works. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. And again, people say, well, I'm doing more good than bad and all that, but what standard is Paul really talking about here? And he gets to the point here, all have fallen short of the glory of God in Romans chapter 3, but he's leading them on. He said, oh yeah, if you do good, you're going to get what you deserve. But none of us deserve heaven. None of us are exempt from the ultimate issue. All of us deserve hell. That's the truth. We've got to address the ultimate issue. Paul has just told us that the Gentiles are under the wrath of God, and now he's indicted the Jews and the moralists as well, saying that none of us are righteous and that all of us are without excuse. But now he tells us that we need to pursue goodness and the path of righteousness in order to inherit eternal life. And if we do not, we will have eternal wrath. And you look at it and you say, well, is Paul saying we're all going to hell? Yes. Yes. Unless there's a remedy. That's the point he's trying to get. He's trying to get it down into your soul, down into their soul, down into our soul, that without a remedy, everybody deserves wrath. But that remedy is the gospel. People wouldn't want to get out of a pit if they didn't know they were in a pit. If someone thought they were walking towards gold and you were telling them they were walking towards death, they would have to be convinced they're walking towards death. They'd have to believe you. They'd have to see it. They'd have to know. Otherwise, they wouldn't turn around. If people don't understand the weight of sin and the dangers and the ultimate issue, there's no use talking to them about the gospel. They've got to see their sin. That's why, a lot of people say it's the right thing to do to give people the law. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. People have got to be broken and see that they're in sin and they're in bondage and they're on their way to hell. Otherwise, you're just giving them Jesus as some kind of moral and therapeutic kind of thing, a deist, like, oh yeah, there's God out there and He loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life, and He's got a purpose, and He's got your best life in mind and all that, but without the knowledge of sin, all that is just window dressing and moralism. And Paul's addressing that. He said, oh, you moralists out there, yeah, if you do this all right, you'll get it, but no one does. There is a remedy, but that remedy is the gospel. That's the righteousness we need to inherit eternal life. We need to face the ultimate issue. And we can do so without fear if we have Jesus. Paul was painting this awful picture that the Jews and the Gentiles are in the same boat. The judgment of God will be applied in the same way, using the same standard. Just because they were called God's people doesn't mean God wouldn't be just. God will be just. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile. All persons are going to be judged according to the same standard. Now, what is that standard? It's perfection. Perfection. Do you meet that standard? Not have you met it for the last 10 years, although you haven't, my friend. Not can you do it from now on, although you can't. Has it always been perfection? And you're born imperfect. Let me read something about this standard in Acts chapter 17. Paul's addressing some people that are pagans, and they didn't even know any better. And he says this in Acts 17, verse 31, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. He's talking about Jesus. And of this he has given us all assurance about this by raising him from the dead. He is talking about Jesus Christ. He is going to judge us by the standard of Jesus Christ, the sinless one. Do you match up to Jesus? You might say you match up to J.D., the preacher here. You might match up to your uncle, your aunt, your sister, your brother, or even against yourself sometime, or even anybody else that's ever lived in the world. But do you match up to Christ? He continues on in Romans chapter 2. Let me get my way back there from the book of Acts. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. And he says, on that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. No amount of goodness by any individual in history is enough to justify him. You can't do it. No one has been or will be holy enough to merit eternal life. Eternal life is not something you can, earn. Grace, you can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. You can't merit it. But it's free. But it wasn't free in the sense of it didn't cost anything. It cost Jesus Christ's sinless life. No one, again, is holy enough to merit eternal life. But Christ was and is perfect. Let me say something that I hope you can remember. People talk about education, and I think that's going to lift us all up. If we all just get one in unity and agree on something, oh boy, we could all agree we could fly, and we'd jump off a building, and we'd die. Let me tell you something. Man left to himself can never climb his way out of his own heart. You say, oh, God knows my heart. I'm sincere. Yeah, God knows your heart. And he uses the Bible, Hebrews 4:12. To discern what your heart is about. He tells you what's in your heart by the Bible. He knows your heart. That's not the point. Does he have your heart? And he's not judging you by your heart. So many Christians even say that. And that annoys me. It's wrong. He doesn't judge you by your heart. He judges you by the standard of Jesus Christ. And you're in or out based on him. Now, sanctification and other things like that, modus, we can talk about that. But if you haven't addressed the ultimate issue, friend, you've avoided the ultimate issue, and you are ultimately on your way to perdition. Man left to himself can never climb his way out of his own heart. He'll sink into the depths of his own depravity unless God in his common grace restrains him and until God in his saving grace rescues him. And that's the truth. Paul is showing us once again the need for the gospel. When he talks about each man, he means individuals regardless of class, race, gender, location, nationality, or the like. The eternal life of everyone depends on the kindness of God, not our goodness. But it is not something we can presume upon. He gives it to those whom seek it with repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's who gets it. That's what Paul was talking about in Acts chapter 20, specifically verse 21. The whole counsel of God, in a way, is repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. You're in need of a Savior. You have faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior. He saves you. But you got to know that you're a sinner, just like the thief on the cross. He knew he was a sinner. He knew Jesus, even though he was hanging there on the cross, was his Savior, and he asked Jesus to save him. That's what we need to do. It's the ABCs right there, addressing the ultimate issue, but so many people think that they have, and they actually have not. They're presuming on God's goodness and their own sincerity. And if God was to show you what your sincerity was really like, and He does in the Bible, you'd see it for what it is. All our righteousness, it says in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That means menstrual cloth, by the way, in the original language. In Romans chapter 2, the text is saying the only path to eternal life is the path of righteousness. But what Paul has said before in this and in the New Testament and our lives and the world all revealed to us that none have or ever will walk perfectly except Jesus. But we can follow Him on that road by faith. We will not walk it perfectly, but His walk, not our walk, is what saves us. That's the gospel. And out of gratitude for it and love for Him, we attempt to walk the same path, knowing that our walk will be imperfect and that we'll stumble and fall, but that God will pick us up. If we will get up and want to walk again, He will empower us to do so. Like a child learns to walk, so too we learn to walk, and we grow stronger as we walk. But we've got to be careful to keep our eyes on the One who walks before us, and that is what undergirds us and keeps us from stumbling. Humbly look at the goodness of God and repent of straying from or staying off the path. Follow Jesus. Now, I want to address something about avoiding the ultimate issue for people that say, oh, I'm doing that. I have faith in Jesus. I know only He saves me. Let me tell you something. These Jews thought they were saved, and they knew who God was. Someone who is saved does not presume upon the goodness of God. They act in accordance with it. The Jews whom Paul were chastising here were God's called out people. They knew about God. They weren't those people in Romans chapter 1. Now listen to me, friends, because this could be you. They knew the gospel, at least what they thought it was. They knew they were the called out ones, and yet they presumed this meant they could just coast along. And they're wrong. They were wrong. Dead wrong. God's calling you out. You must answer the call with humility and repentance and not with hypocrisy. Just because you know the truth doesn't mean you are trusting in it. That's the point. We avoid the ultimate issue because we think we said a prayer when we were 8 years old, and now we're never really addressing the ultimate issue. Those that has addressed the ultimate issue, God keeps addressing them as His Father, and it's not just a hypocrisy thing where we're calling on Him, but we really don't know Him. Again, just because you're trusting something doesn't mean you're trusting the actual truth. Just because you know the truth doesn't mean you're trusting in it. Those that don't walk the path, that say, Jesus walked the right path, I trust in that, that's why I go that way. If you're not walking the path at all, not how fast, not how far, not if you have to get back up or fall down a little bit, but those that don't walk the path at all are saying they have no faith. Think about it. Wrath or mercy? Which do you want? Follow Jesus, and you will have mercy. Follow your heart, and you will have wrath. The Bible says that he that trusts in his own heart, his own mind, is a fool. But he that walks in the way of wisdom will be delivered. Do you have wisdom on it? That is the ultimate issue. Do you know Jesus? For real. If you do, you're following Him. If you don't read your Bible, you don't go to church, you don't pray, you don't talk to people about Jesus, friend, you are not addressing Jesus as Lord. You are avoiding the ultimate issue, and it's time to address the ultimate issue. I hope that you listen to this again. You can send me comments, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. Until next time, we'll see you. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.